to the Multimedia Men and Women Podcast, number 58.
Hey now, don't dream it.
It's about time you added the woman part, by the way.
It's Brian's fault for that.
Well, first, now it's called the Multimedia Men and Women, but beforehand, it was just men here. And then we added Gwen, and then we added Susan.
So really completed our
We've story. Always had Adam, though. I don't understand.
Well, Gwen, we brought on Gwen for the over 60 demographic,
right.
And we brought in Susan for the under 19 demographic.
For that ABC family.
Yes, to get it all in. We haven't been here in over a month since...
I didn't talk about it, guys.
I know.
That's
all Brian's fault.
That's
why I was really excited when you said podcast yesterday.
I was getting itchy. I was like, enjoying my Sunday.
I was like, there.
Wait, you're not enjoying this right now?
All that you can see, Brian has shaved off his mustache, which is...
I shaved off the facial hair. I got a haircut.
Why?
His wife is making him dress nicer. It's weird.
No way. No, it's just... I go through phases. I just grow it all out, and then I cut it all off just every 6 months or so.
He's starting up his husky modeling again.
I am. JCPenney style.
I feel like I've known you for a really long time, but I've never seen you look so clean cut before.
Really?
It's weird.
How long have we known each other?
Six months.
6 months.
Yeah. It's been longer than 6 months.
Yeah, I know.
I've really known him for 6 months.
That's true. Well, I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics. We're with Gadi Elkon from C-League Film News.
Hi.
We're with Susan Kamyab from thischicksflix.com, Irving Community Television, and Dallas Morning News?
Well, I mean, yeah.
A little bit?
I have, but that's...
A little bit?
Wasn't that funny when that popped up in people's news feed recently that people had forgotten it? I didn't even realize.
I finally added, I'm weird about, like, adding that stuff until, like, I didn't know how long they were going to keep me on. Mm. And since I was, like, they, like, extended it and stuff, and I was like, well, then I guess I'll add it on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I put a real date. If you look carefully, it's when
I November.
Really
so, yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
So. It was, like, November, right?
People were like, it was October. So everyone's like, congratulations. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, but I started. Read it on your own. Whatever.
But that was cool. And we got Adam Conway from the Angelica Film Center.
Well, that was cool. Yeah.
That was cool.
Moving on to me.
Moving on to Adam.
Hey.
Angelica Film Center. And we got Gwen Reyes from Fresh Fiction TV and
WFAA.
Yeah. The literature expert.
Yes. One day I won't be just literature expert.
Yes, that is pretty awesome.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. I have hopes and dreams. I could be the next Gary Kogel, guys.
That would be awesome.
I think you definitely are going to probably...
Did I say that
at all? I love it.
Who? Oh, I love Gary
Kogel.
Yeah, me too. On
me now. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, he was... Oh, he's a really nice guy, too.
He is a really
nice
guy.
Yeah, he's real nice.
So the ninth Dallas International Film Festival happened a couple weeks ago. We were all there. Adam ran the whole thing. Gadi was the main interviewer and guy on the red carpet talking to literally everybody.
He was so sweaty.
I gotta ask you, what was the best interview you had? You interviewed literally everybody.
Dirk was really cool.
Dirk was
really nice. He looked you in the eyes. We talked music.
He just Dirk.
We talked haircuts. It was a lot of fun. Well, that's a loaded question. I think in total,
what were ones that stuck out?
Well, of the star recipients, John Landis was obviously a lot of fun, but that wasn't really an interview. You just kind of throw up a question and he'll tell you a story for about an hour. So it was a lot easier than that. One that really surprised me, did y'all ever see King Kill 63? That was the new JFK conspiracy documentary, but they sat down with Oliver Stone, the first interview he's done since he did JFK, and that was fascinating. We talked about FBI, we talked about threats, and we talked about JFK, because I have a little bit of a history with the JFK symposium, and I've interviewed a lot of the JFK older generation people who think it was a one-shooter person, and this film kind of debunks that whole situation, so that was a lot of fun. A lot of the filmmakers that came up from Austin were really cool. The guys from Bad Guy Number 2 were hilarious. We talked about...
That was a fun
sex.
Short film.
We talked about...
Butt sex?
Butt sex was a conversation.
Okay, wow.
That's part of the movie.
You know, it's the Lord's Day.
I'm Jewish. The Lord's Day was yesterday, so y'all can have your fun on a Sunday.
Technically, Friday night to Saturday night.
Right. So going back to the JFK filmmaker, was he excited? Like, what was his feeling of being in Dallas and actually getting to show that film to a Dallas
audience? Well, they were really excited. I mean, obviously, this is where you need to show the film. Mm-hmm. But I asked them, you know, when coming in, what were y'all feelings? And they were like, well, it was really eerie because we had, like, an incident right before we came out. Because I think they flew from Fort Lauderdale, and there was a whole situation with security, and there was an FBI person there, and I don't know if I can get into total details, but they were like, we didn't know if we could make it out here. They loved the fact they showed it at the Texas Theater. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about that. The whole, where are you guys going to sit? Fifth row or third row, fifth seat. And it's not the same seats, but that's where Oswald famously sat. And they were really enthusiastic. They were really, I think they enjoyed the fact that I knew about a lot of the stuff that they'd done, like interviewing Oliver and some of the cool. They were the first film documentary to have happened after the releasing of all the files. So a lot of their film deals with all the previous conspiracies not making sense with the file release and how much information they have with it, and also the information that wasn't released, which mm-hmm. is a big part of their film. Like, Oswald's records, for instance, are still not released. His phone records.
Still?
Still not released. In particular, his phone records are the big key. Like, somebody got phone calls from mob figures in Louisiana the week of, the day of. Like, there's a lot of stuff in their film that really points to there's no way in hell.
Has it not been enough time?
According to them, I would say it's probably not.
Yeah, like, especially if they've just really, I mean, they just yeah. released those in, what, 2013?
Yeah.
Something? No.
So it's not, it's something that for the next 30 years we'll still have this stuff, but for them to have all that information and to sit down with Oliver, it was pretty special, because he does not do interviews about this subject. He's was going to do something for the 50th when we just had that, what, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And he didn't finish in time. Harold Morris had something very, he's been a huge conspiracy follower for many years, and he's interviewed everybody. Neither one of them finished their projects. So this was kind of Oliver's way to do a project about JFK close to the 50th without what he's working on something now, but it might take him 5 years. So,
did the filmmakers talk at all about, like, a couple years ago, Nat Geo, I think Discovery, and I think Reels Channel, too, did different conspiracy documentaries that were, like, nut jobs? Did they talk anything about those? Like, their level of who they can trust as a conspiracy theorist and who they...
They definitely talked about debunking certain ones, and that since the releasing of the files, there have been shows that really dive into specific ones, like The Umbrella Man is one mm-hmm. that's been brought up. So they talked about more of that stuff than actual specific shows, but that was definitely part of their research, was trying to figure out what they wanted to talk about and what conspiracy they were going to kind of basically go with.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Is that what the whole documentary is?
Sort of. Them deciding it's still open-ended, but they definitely push to multiple shooters and a mob connection from what I gathered from the film. But I think anyone could gather a million different things. It's still so many fingers point to the government involvement. There's still a lot of just weird figures involved in the whole situation. The Russian connections are kind of crazy.
It's so interesting. It reminds me of The End of The Rock, where Nick Cage has the celluloid films. Like, do you want to see who really killed JFK? I feel like that should have... That's kind of like...
Well, I'm bringing up The Rock.
Hey, you know? I mean,
I think,
like,
it's a brilliant film.
It's not really basic fiction or fact.
But it gets to the point of, like, everybody and their grandmother has a theory about what the hell happened.
Yeah, who really killed them? It could be the government. It could be the Russian. It could be, you know, there's tons of theories.
You know, I feel
the aliens. People have that idea.
Alive, guys.
There needs to be a documentary about moon truthers.
Moon.
About people who don't believe that the moon landing happened.
Oh, that was...
Yeah. Some pretty famous people don't believe it.
It didn't happen.
Half the Ghostbusters.
Oh, you really don't think it happened?
There was a whole thing with Stanley Kubrick.
I question it. Constantly.
Do you know that the Kubrick thing? Stanley Kubrick?
Yeah.
No.
The movie The Shining, that's him trying to tell everybody that he filmed the moon landing or something like that.
Yeah, I actually got a film print.
He did get paid by the government for something, and that's never been released. So as far as, like,
we went to
paychecks, there's some issues there.
Well, there also could have been, you know, Vietnam.
This became a conspiracy podcast. Okay, so was there an awkward moment that you had on the red carpet or in an interview?
Yeah.
You know, I thought there would. In total, I think me and Andrew worked out that with red carpet and studio, we did, I'll throw in USA because add in those interviews and what is it, 11 days diff, 5 days USA, we did 120 interviews.
Wow.
God.
And there wasn't ever like a meltdown moment, but I think, okay, like Rick Carlisle, I'll talk about that one because that was the one I was going into most fearful.
Who's Rick Carlisle?
He's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Really nice guy.
Oh,
but,
Jim Carrey.
Yes, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, a.k.a. Rick Carlisle, is kind of notorious for ripping people a new asshole if he wants to during an interview. I think, I'm not going to bring up his name, but you know someone very close that got his, on a radio show, got ripped apart by Rick. And Rick's notorious, like, if he doesn't like a question, he will not answer it.
Ooh.
And I started my question about ping pong, and he gave me a look like, where the fuck are you going? You can see on the video. And luckily, I get to a point where obviously he clues in with what I'm talking about. And he was so cool and honest and open. It was really fun. But that moment, like watching it back, was like, oh, fuck. Like he could have been that close to just literally walking away on my first question. And I don't know. That would have impacted the Cuban interview. Dirk was after that. Like Holger wouldn't have stepped up and talked to me. I mean, that could have ruined the whole math day. And since we were the official red carpet team, like, oops, we didn't get any of those interviews, would have been terrible thing. That was the only, like, moment I was fearful. Luckily, we didn't have any, like, crazy thoughts. If anything, there was more behind-the-scenes issues with, like, PR companies and the Lego guys and Blythe Danner interview.
What does that mean? Did you just growl at the Lego guys?
Adam, if you want to talk about my reaction more than like...
Yeah, I want to hear that story. Hey, I thought they were...
I think Adam's seen the meanest side I've ever been to.
They're not nice?
No, they're great guys. Awesome. It's not them. It's not Blythe. It has nothing to do with the talent. It has to do with PR people and how shitty they can be. And Adam, you've never seen me that mad.
What happened?
I want to hear the story.
Yeah, I don't know what got you mad.
Well, it comes down to basically, like...
You don't have to use names. Yeah.
Well, no, I guess Diff had Mark Walters do the Tex Avery Award Q&A, because he's done it the last 3 years. But I guess they didn't tell Gotti that he would be doing it.
And I wasn't pissed about Mark. I was pissed about...
But it was a good Q&A.
We didn't get an interview with the Lego guys for sit-down because of this BS. And that had a lot of confusion for me. Like, we got him for red carpet. We got both of them for red carpet. But, like, I don't know.
But they were great. They sang Islands of the Sun at the...
They were awesome dudes. Chris,
they were only in for so long, right? They
for like a day.
Like
a day
and
a half.
Friday night through
Saturday. Yeah.
And then the Blythe thing was... That was local PR.
Oh.
You stepped in, so that helped.
Well, I really enjoyed Blythe.
Sweetest lady there was.
She complimented my jacket, so we're best friends.
She's like, cool. Cut her hand on the water bottle, which is crazy during the interview.
Oh, my God.
She's like, wow.
Fragile young lady.
She's elderly.
She said something really sweet, too.
She's elderly.
She cut her hand on the water bottle.
She might just bleed faster.
Yeah.
You remember the question I asked that she was real sweet about? I usually ask her what's your favorite scene in a movie to everybody, and she said every scene with my daughter in Shakespeare in Love. And I was like,
I know, it's like sucker punch to the heart. I wanted to ask. I had a very similar lines cross situation when I was going to do my interview because I had agreed to do it for Diff and for the Angelica blog. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do two separate interviews because it's two separate audiences.
With Blythe Danner?
Mm-hmm. With Blythe Danner. So that's what I went in thinking that was how it was going to be.
That was the original plan, by the way.
And so I set up questions for talking about, like, independent filmmaking and what the importance of that for the Angelica and then, like, winning her award and having her whole career honored for Diff. So I had planned that. And then I get there, and I'm preparing, and then PR is like, as I'm walking in to my interview, I was like, so I'll do mine and then do it again. And then she was like, no, you're only doing one. You're only doing one interview. And I was like, okay. And then she's just getting huffier and huffier about it. And I was like, okay, it's not a problem, really. And so it was just kind of stumped me that there's a funny scene in the film where Blythe and all her friends get stoned.
Vaporizer.
Yeah. Use their vape.
Good moment.
And I wanted to, and then they leave and they go and get snacks at the grocery store. And I was like, I gotta ask about snacks. Like, what would Carol's, because we never see her get anything, never eat anything. So I was like, what would Carol's favorite stoner snack be? I never got to ask that question because my interview, because I was later in the day, my interview went from a 7-minute interview to like a 3 or 4
minute
interview.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
For the festival, shows you the PR fuck up that was.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I gotta ask Adam, you pretty much were in charge of the Angelica for 10 days. Were you there 24/7?
37 films play there out of the 167.
So did you get any sleep?
A little.
We cuddled.
Yeah. Aww, I watched cool. some good stuff.
You did
know.
You put it up on the...
Yeah, you were able to watch
movies.
A couple things. Yeah. Like Turbo Kid was awesome.
Turbo Kid was great. Let's talk about the winners. It seems like Thunder Broke the Heavens won Best Narrative Feature.
Those are the guys behind
it. They're really nice guys.
They're really cool. Tim Skuzin and then Jeremy Kuhn is actually from... Richardson.
So these guys actually had the documentary Raiders too, right?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Sure. They had two movies.
They were
there.
Really cool. Raiders was fascinating.
He also had helped out with a film at USA mm-hmm. as well. So.
Yeah. Both those guys are really cool. Really, really sweet guys. They're just down to earth as you expect, but they've been part of some really big films and projects. And what they're working on now is really cool too.
Did anybody see Radiator or Sunbeasts?
I saw Some Beast was Cameron Bruce Nelson's local,
yeah.
And it was cinematography.
Yeah,
was
that
word. And the sound was amazing.
I heard
too.
It was really good.
By Johnny Marshall.
Look wise, Hutch.
The movie wasn't great.
It's like
it's very much a cerebral movie.
It's a quasi autobiographical.
Yeah.
About his experiences in that town. And he used the real townsfolk.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how some people may not, like, appreciate it, but it was amazing to watch. Visually, it's the best thing that was at the festival. Like,
why wouldn't they appreciate it, like, just narratively?
It's very slow.
It's really slow paced.
It's very slow.
All internalized.
But
all those filmmakers, that's what they like.
Yeah.
They like
yeah.
the slow, beautiful.
Exactly.
You want to be Terrence Malick. Ugh.
He worked on, Cameron worked on Upstream, so that's exactly the point you're getting at. Terrence and
Yeah. Meandering, which is not bad. I feel like those movies work really well in theaters. I could not make myself watch that at home.
I had the experience of watching the online trailer so I could be prepped for the interview and then watching the theater experience, and it was two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
And not that the online trailer was bad, but I didn't get the scope of the sound, which Johnny Marshall, local guy, did the sound. Fucking flawless. It's one of the best things I've ever heard in the theater.
That's amazing.
Like, you heard the crackle of
it was
amazing. Like, just the sound of someone smoking a cigarette could not sound as more interesting as they did in that film.
Did anybody see Echoes of War?
Yeah, Echoes was...
That was James Badgedale and Ethan Embry.
Beth Broderick.
Some more movies.
Sabrina.
Yeah.
Sabrina's on.
Lots of bloodshed.
She's unrecognizable. It's a terrible scene. She does a sex scene. It's very weird.
Is she good in it?
She's very good. It's just she's mute. I asked her on the red carpet why she chose to do this role.
Did she answer?
She did. She gave one of the most passionate answers. She said... It's tough for an older woman to get roles, period. So to look into independent film, you need to take these bold choices so that people will notice you and keep track of you. She's, I'm known for certain things, and I didn't necessarily want to be hamstring. I'm getting up in age, and no one in Hollywood's going to care about me after the age of 30. So
I still love her.
She's great. And so I thought that was really cool. Ethan Embry was really fascinating. He doesn't own a TV. He's not what you'd expect.
Oh, he's like Gabby Hoffman.
But a lot better than Gabby.
Let's
a lot cooler than Gabby.
You hate Gabby.
Yeah.
I know, that's why I'm like, please.
She secretly loves Gabby.
You hate Gabby.
You like Ethan.
I love him.
Ethan. We talked about a spider that scared the shit out of him. He was cool.
Yeah.
He might have been.
Did you ask him Empire Records questions? Because my
not on air, but we talked off. I asked him about Papa Giorgio, too. And he's just, you could tell he's like, he doesn't. He's not very nostalgic, I guess. He doesn't look back to it. He doesn't watch those films. I think he's very proud of what he's done, obviously. I mean, the dude's been working since he was, 15?
Yeah, he's been able to have him last 2 years.
Yeah. And literally working two films.
You guys talk about
year.
Cheap Thrills, which is like the most terrifying Ethan Embry film.
He was also in The Guest.
He was.
Yeah, very briefly.
For
very
like 2 minutes.
Good role, though.
He didn't eat a dead dog in a...
I love Cheap Thrills.
Cheap Thrills is very good.
So I'm curious about the documentaries. It looks like Bat Kid Begins won the documentary as well. As well as Barge. And I saw so many documentaries. I didn't see these two, but Welcome to Leith or Wolfpack. Frame by Frame did win the Silver Heart.
There's a lot of awards.
But the Act of Killing one, the Look of Silence, how did that not win either?
Not a lot of people saw it.
I know, there was like 12 people in the theater.
Yeah, there weren't enough people in the theater. Barge was surprisingly good.
Yeah, Barge was good.
I was impressed by Barge. What those two dudes did, they literally went down the Mississippi with a barge, and it's fascinating.
But like Raiders or the...
I know, you would think Raiders.
Raiders.
Being Evil?
Being Evil. The Evil Knievel one was really good, too.
I heard that wasn't as good, but that's just my...
Who saw that and told me that Evil Knievel was a dick?
Me. Okay. He's a huge asshole.
He is a
huge asshole. Went to prison for 6 months for being an asshole.
But here's the thing. Creative people, most of the time, are assholes. Because you have to be tough to get your... take your ideas.
He was notorious for being a dick.
There's a difference.
So
he was a...
Floyd Mayweather.
There's a difference. That's true.
No one loves Mayweather. Everyone kind of loves Evil. There's a difference.
Evil went to prison for attacking his manager and publicist. In hurting him.
Well, Floyd Mayweather fired his father, so.
Who's the actor that just did that, who just punched out a publicist and is now going to jail? Emile Hirsch?
Yeah, you're right.
Emile Hirsch did that same thing.
Oh, is that? Yeah, it was a female publicist.
Yeah, it was back at Sundance. Punched out a publicist at a party.
Well, Emile Hirsch is like, wasn't he in rehab not too long?
Drugs are tough.
Yeah. Cocaine's a heck of a drug.
He was basically pulling that character from Killer Joe and just went crazy.
Run away.
But, yeah, that was a diff. Any other movies?
I saw a really terrible movie.
Which
I
one?
I saw Sacrifice that's on there, which I was...
That won the Texas Prize.
I'm really surprised, because I thought that movie, it had a lot of technical issues. Like, clearly one of the cameras that would be filmed on somebody had a buzzing sound. Like, did you notice that? Like, it'd be like one camera was totally fine, and then it would be like, on somebody else.
That was, they were late to get it. Like, that wasn't... That won't be in the final cut.
Oh, it won't be?
That was driving me nuts, though.
That would be so
nice. I would notice it every time. And some of the acting was... The two brothers were good. Obviously, Dermot? Is it?
Dermot Moroney.
Dermot was good, which I'm impressed that they were able to get him.
Dermot's way better.
Yeah. And the storyline felt a little like... Like, it was trying to do the helium thing.
Yeah.
But it was, it was good. It was just, I don't know.
There's a way better chess movie coming out later this year called Pawn Sacrifice with Tobey Maguire, so.
It was a dark film. It was a really dark film.
Did you say a chess movie?
Yeah.
There's a chess movie with Manny from...
Sacrifice wasn't chess.
Sacrifice is, like, a movie about, like, lots of death.
Sacrificing your time.
The same one?
No.
Sacrifice was four kids who were Texas kids.
I'm thinking the Manny one also.
Yeah, there was one. It was something else. It was with Manny from Modern Family. It had Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Different film, y'all.
Well, I know.
Yes, but there was another chess movie.
I don't know, guys. You have pocket computers.
Yeah.
I do want to get to the main guy in Sacrifice, because he's from Pretty Little Liars, and he was terrible in that show. But he's really good.
Well, you're the only one watching Pretty Little Liars.
Hey, man.
Not true.
A lot of people watch that show.
A lot of people do.
It's the number one tweeted show.
Yeah, because it's the number one.
Right?
Is it really?
It's the number one tweeted show. That's why they say the hashtags. They're the most ridiculous.
WWE.
That's why they get, because that show does so well in hashtags and on Twitter. That's why all these other shows have, or they're trying to.
They're
doing really?
And the hashtags are ridiculous. They're like hashtag Toby Secret.
You want to hear my favorite story from Diff? It was really funny.
Wait, you were actually at Diff?
Yeah, you were Diff.
I didn't know you were at Diff.
Really?
I never saw you at Diff.
You weren't. Bullshit. You weren't at Diff
either. I went to a movie. I saw that Chris Pine movie, and it was not good.
It sucked.
Chris Evans?
Yeah, that one. Oh. Yeah, I saw it, too, at Texas Theater, and it was terrible.
After your story,
I've
got one of my
favorites. So bad.
I could have told you.
I enjoyed, here's the thing,
I wanted to watch it, and it was right before Results.
Because you love Chris Evans, we know.
Well, I know, but I also, Results was right after it, so.
How was Results?
Results was good, people. It wasn't, like, the best. It's a great one-time.
It was better than
Is Karpowski in that one also?
Oh, yeah. Playing It Cool sucked.
Is he? Because he's in all.
That's what I'm talking about playing it cool.
No, I'm saying. Yeah,
okay.
Did not care for it.
The same name.
But I liked. Here's the thing about playing it cool. I didn't care for the romance part of that because it was like done by a dude, so I'm not here for that. But I liked all of the time spent with the friends. So whenever we were with his friends, I was enjoying their characters and all their little tropes and stuff. But then when I was like, this movie's
good. I like the lessons you get. But then him actually falling for Michelle Monaghan.
Oh yeah, that part was terrible. Like,
was
throw
so
that out.
Unrealistic. Like
why?
Because why on earth would you like fall for this girl that is a cheater?
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
Let's tap the brake a little bit. How does Chris Evans not have a girlfriend? Go fuck yourself.
But I don't think it was
make
because
Martin
he didn't
star in the film.
I don't think
the guy's one of the prettiest humans on the planet.
Yeah,
go hire someone that's not pretty.
But I don't think that it wasn't about him not being pretty or having self-esteem enough. I think it was he never wanted to hurt himself. He was afraid. He wrote stories because he was afraid to ever live in the real world.
The movie sucked.
The movie did suck.
I think
I'm 100% on that.
What annoys me is that, like, I'm totally fine with the guy having commitment issues and stuff like that, but why fall for that kind of, like, why would this be the girl that would make you break
your and she's not gonna, I mean, and neither of you, both of you are gonna get bored.
Yeah.
Because like, she's never gonna be, like, the moment that she, like, farts, it's just going to be completely destroyed.
To me, they never had a real moment. Like, I feel like she just was all about herself.
Switching to a movie that does embrace farting in front of your loved ones, This Isn't Funny, screened the night before Playing It Cool. And that movie is 100 times better made on, like, a budget of, like,
$3. I hated that movie.
It was so good. It was
so
funny.
This is not funny. It's
okay,
hold on.
Brian, he loved it, and you didn't love it. So why? Give me your reasons.
Every reason that you like Playing It Cool, the comedian friendships, the friends in that movie are all real comedians. Some of the funniest shit I've ever heard. They shot actual comedy showcases that they did and spliced it into the film. Spliced it, that's not a real word. Spliced into the film.
Spliced.
And then I love their romance. It had a good arc. It was real. It was the same story that they have in real life. They also do a web series together that's fucking hilarious about poop and pee. They're like,
that's
a couple is completely open. Like,
I can physically see Susan right now losing her mind.
My favorite thing right now is how Susan wants to be anywhere but next to God. She is her pulse.
That's fine.
All right, Susan, now it's your
turn. Guys, Brian was about to tell us a story.
No, but I want to hear Susan's reason for not liking it.
First of all,
all I hear now is there's poop in it, and I don't want to see that.
I won't judge the web series. That sounds cool. But the movie itself, and I'll take away not even the fact that it is like low budget and stuff like that, but it was, to me, kind of a ripoff of Obvious Child a little. You have to admit
she's funnier than Jenny Slate.
Oh my God!
She's funnier than Jenny Slate. I'll throw that shit out
there.
And Jenny Slate is one of the funniest people on the planet. This girl will be bigger.
I strongly disagree on that one.
It was the last joke in this movie is better than any joke in Obvious
Child. She tried to be Jenny Slate and like was not Jenny Slate to me at all. I didn't think any of the stand up was funny. All the stand up that they cut up and just was, it felt forced. It was,
the milk carton joke wasn't funny?
I don't remember. I didn't like any of it.
She wanted out of that.
I've never heard a joke funnier than that.
Holy
shit.
Say it.
It's a longer joke.
Oh, okay.
It's about, like, people eating meat, and they eat, like, baby calf, and they kill all these calves, and they also use it for clothing, like, you dress in leather, and then, you know, you do all these things, and then when you lose a child, you put it on a carton made from the nipple of the cow, and you show your kid on there, even though you kill their kids, you kill them, you eat them, and you use their milk as the way to showcase when you lose your child. Funniest shit I've ever heard.
I'm sorry, I did not like the movie at all. I did not think it was funny. It was just the relationship to me was. It was there were moments
that was more believable than Playing It Cool.
Yeah, yes, I will agree with that. It was. That's duh.
So Susan liked the movie now.
No.
Do you like it better than Playing It Cool though?
Yes. You know you do.
It's a pretty hard choice.
They're so different. Why they're bad? They're so different. Yeah. Why they're bad? Just this isn't funny. Just really, it felt forced to me. Like what they were trying to do, just felt forced.
I agree that Obvious Child impacts this film.
Yeah,
but not on a negative side.
I don't mind if a movie, you know, got inspired by another movie. I'm not saying that that's horrible. I just when you clearly did, and then you failed to be even just as good as that movie, then you're gonna.
But it's tough to like. It's not like But it's Katie Page looks very similar to Jenny.
She does.
Her comedy is very similar to Jenny.
She's very similar to Jenny Slate's character.
How do you, that's her comedy, though. It's like, you can't hate, you know, Dana Carvey and David Spade for looking similar
to her. But it's fine, but to me, she just wasn't funny. Like,
you didn't think he was funny, the Australian accent? Him being
I want to watch you both watch this movie.
It was so funny. They did Molly together. It was fucking hilarious.
They might have made the same time.
I wish we were like
videotaping this because Susan's reactions is just like losing her fucking mind right now.
I was so excited about this movie. Let me just say, I read the description. I was like, this sounds like my cup of tea. And the whole time I'm watching, I'm just like,
well, what movie have you liked from the festival?
No, let's get back to this because this movie's worth it. James Faust, who's artistic director of the festival.
We had him on the podcast last time.
He loved this film. This is the only film he's ever shown all of his entire team. He said, each one of you have to see this film. This was his favorite movie at the festival.
That didn't
Sarah Harris also say that she hated it? Wasn't this the one that she hated when James was on?
James said that his favorite was Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. So let's...
Only that he saw previously at Sundance, and that movie is amazing.
Yes, let's say that's my favorite.
Movies. That's my favorite.
Personal shout out to Thomas Mann.
Probably. Yeah,
you've still got like 7 more months.
So far. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. That is by far the best of Diff.
If you love movies, you'll love
one of the
that
best
movie
of the year.
It's hard to compare. This isn't
it
funny.
Be
the best film at the festival.
I love all the fake movies they make. That's so sad.
It's like a little bit of a sort of Rambo in there. But
yeah.
That's how the Wolf Pack was too.
I'll tell y'all after the podcast a fun story about Thomas Mann.
Let me just say, I want
fun
all
story,
y'all to
not
watch
from podcast.
Not from
this
podcast.
Isn't funny, and then you guys tell me. Because
they're coming back, guys, too.
So. Did y'all see This Isn't Funny?
No.
I feel like we should move on from this.
Did you guys see Me and Earl and the Dying Girl?
No,
I missed out.
I forget where I was, but
that's my favorite. That's my favorite.
We'll get online. We'll talk more about This Isn't Funny. Or This Is Funny.
Is there any results? Was okay,
yeah,
too.
For the podcast after the podcast.
Yes, the after show.
Oh, my God, it's like Big Brother.
I know. All right, let's move on. Let's do Fuck, Marry, Kill, a round of Fuck, Marry, Kill with Seinfeld.
Well, did you not want to talk about USA at all?
We'll get to that. Let's take a break with that. Let's do Fuck, Marry, Kill. Seinfeld.
Because everyone's probably going to... Okay, let's do it.
All right. Adam, you first.
We go Steinbrenner because Larry David was Steinbrenner.
Yes, you go first.
Okay.
Just anybody in the show.
Yeah.
Soup Nazi.
I would see. Fuck Elaine.
totally agree there.
Because she can't dance.
Weird comment.
I know. I would probably marry Jerry just because he seems pretty together.
Jerry?
Out of the whole group.
You would marry Jerry?
Yes.
He seems to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Which?
He's a successful comedian.
But he loves Superman.
He'll replace
he got
him
a really
with another
good deal
hot girl
on Hulu.
Soon.
We can just, be in an open relationship where we get to bang hot girls together. So.
And?
What I would kill.
I don't think any of that's happening.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I actually met Jerry. He's really nice.
Yeah, you saw Beam.
He came and
place.
Rented out a whole theater to watch, what was that one movie about the guy stuck in the ocean? It was, like, Swedish.
Oh, Kon-Tiki?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good movie.
I love that movie.
So you'd fuck Elaine, you would marry Jerry, and who would you kill?
Well, that's really tough.
Close stalker.
Yeah.
Close stalker.
Man hands, Two-Face. There's so many options. Maybe the Bizarro group.
The Bizarro group that it would be.
They were all too nice.
All right, Gotti. Fuck, marry, kill Seinfeld.
Well, definitely fuck Elaine.
Okay.
Though I would think twice because Jerry's had a lot of experience too. So I'm. You know what? I'll take that back. I'd fuck Jerry.
Okay.
That would be a fun experience.
And his mom jeans.
Yeah. And his mom jeans would be hot. I would marry Kramer because I would always be excited about what we're doing next. What adventures he would take me on. The married life with Kramer would be so much fun. We'd just burst into rooms together. It'd be fucking hilarious.
He's a crazy human being.
He's slightly racist. What was the last one? Who would I kill?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's tough.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Because there's somebody you want to kill. Some
Newman? Newman?
Don't be hateful.
Oh, I would kill him.
I like Newman. I think Newman's responsible for
it. Y'all hate on Friends.
Summer George? Would you kill Summer George? Danny Gould. Are you going to use that hold?
I would kill...
it's tough.
It's very tough. The closed soccer has always annoyed the shit out of me because I hate people with...
What about the tic-tac guy? Yeah.
What... let's go ahead and say I'd kill... yeah, close talker.
Alrighty. Gwen, fuck, kill, fuck, marry, kill,
okay.
Seinfeld.
I would marry the soup Nazi. Because I like
snacks.
I like that he has rules and I'm always going to be fed.
It's
as long as I, and the soup is really good, so as long as I behave, I will always be fed. So I'm fine with that.
One day he's just like, no soup for you!
No, like, that's fine, I'll take it. But at that point I'll have siphoned off enough mad money that I can just like... Oh, and the whole soup Nazi empire. So, and you know, though, his name isn't soup Nazi. It's really
not.
Kind of terrible. It should be like Jim.
He embraces it.
His name's Jim.
He embraces it.
He has a real name, guys. My husband.
Can I switch my kill to Abania? I just remember my name. That's the worst.
In a bit.
And then for fucking, I would do Elaine because I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I would do her now that she's in Veep.
Yeah, I would
fuck
do her even
then.
With curly hair. So it's kind of like having sex with myself.
Yeah.
So I'd be super down with that.
I want straight hair, Elaine. That's it.
And then killing, I would kill Newman. Because why? Why would you not? Why would you not kill Newman? I hate Newman. With you.
By the weed. You don't like Newman?
Ugh. No. Also, he was... I'll never forgive him for what he did in Jurassic Park.
But he helped... he was going to bring dinosaurs to everyone.
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it.
No.
Just positive.
He was an underpaid computer programmer.
Too bad a dinosaur already did.
That's true. All right, Susan.
All right, I would marry Jerry. I would probably fuck Elaine as well. And that's because I cannot stand anyone else on it. Jason Alexander's okay.
Tell us more about this fucking Elaine. Go, details.
Well, she's cool.
It's
me. I think Elaine's actually the one... I may actually marry her over. She's the one I tolerate the most on that show. So.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Let's switch it. I'll marry Elaine and fuck Jerry. And
that's
then
right.
There you go.
Can I kill Kramer and Newman? Because I
would
kill both of them.
Why Kramer?
He annoys the shit out of me. And he's always like banging through his doors. Like, he has no sense. He has no sense of like privacy or
that's
just
called
decorum.
Friendship, y'all. He leaves the door unlocked for a reason.
I just feel
open
like
open door policy.
Jerry loves it.
I don't know, but Elaine can't pay attention to movies. We should know this when she's
watching
the English.
How could you marry Elaine? You can't even take her to your own fucking theater.
She doesn't have to go with me.
Yeah, I have a relationship now that the dude I love doesn't like movies either. So.
That's a lie. I've hung out with Cliff. We had a blast.
Movies.
We got to fuck it. I can't wait to talk about the Avengers because I'm going to tell you a real fun anecdote about.
He likes movies. He sits there and watches it.
Yeah, that's right. Just sits there and watches
it. We sat through
it.
Hobbit together making fun of it. It's hilarious.
So glad you guys had each other for that. I took that.
It would have sucked if we did.
So did you get... who was your fucking case?
So, marry Elaine, fuck Jerry, and kill Kramer and...
Okay.
So I want to kill both.
All right. I would hard fuck man hands. I would marry Costanza, and I would kill Jerry.
Why would you marry Costanza?
Why would you kill Jerry? He's one of the better
ones. He's just annoying in the show. But I would marry Costanza, because, man, that would be fun.
What's
just,
the deal?
It's like marrying Larry David. I'd laugh the entire time.
The character is based on Larry, yeah.
You wouldn't want to marry the real Mr. Spectacular?
That sounds, like, so sad. I don't want to marry Larry
Terry
David.
Hatcher?
Why not?
So much, like... Oh, you're so great, Larry. I have to do that all the time. That's terrible.
I would hard fuck Manhenzo. That'd be good.
I don't think his real life wife ever told him that.
When he broke up with her.
And
he
she took his ass
for
25 some money.
Years.
And I think Kramer would be like the friend, like the best friend that's always allowed over.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
So please let us know.
I'd put like a code on it and I'd change it every 4 days.
There's a note out front. No coming into this door or no, this isn't funny, people. Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
So please let us know on Facebook and Twitter what your fuck, marry, kill for Seinfeld is.
You know, tell them why we did this.
Oh, reason why we picked Seinfeld is because Hulu got the rights to all the Seinfeld episodes, and it's supposedly $700,000 an episode.
Yeah.
See, I'm so curious. Like, when The Simpsons went to FX and then got their own app, I'm curious why Seinfeld didn't do something similar to that. They're, like, the most profitable and most expensive syndicated show.
Because Jews don't play games.
Because they both don't care about money now. They don't, you know, it's not money to them.
Oh, that doesn't sound Jewish at all.
Yeah, they're Jewish. They care about money.
No, Larry David said he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's lying.
Yeah.
He's lying. He's still making Curb whenever the hell he feels like it because he makes money.
Is he going to, though?
Yes, it's Larry. He'll make something. Or he'll go make another terrible movie.
Bless you.
He already is.
So let's talk about the big, big, big movie that came out this weekend. Of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, boy.
One story.
Yeah, what's your
Avengers Age of Ultron finally came out. Second, we've been looking forward to it. Came out.
We have been looking forward to it.
On Friday, it made $85 million. Supposedly, I read today that the...
It made $23 on Thursday.
Yeah, the Manny Pacquiao fight and Floyd Mayweather fight supposedly took away a lot of the going to see the movie. But
so
it's funny that I saw it. I didn't see the screening with you guys last week. I saw it on Thursday at 7. Which, by the way, I love that theaters are now doing, like,
Thursday.
Yeah, but, like, reasonable old people time screenings. It's not, like, midnight.
Yeah. 7 a.m.?
Before
7
it was, like, 10 p.m.
Yeah, they started, like, 8.
Well, it's because there's so long. That's why.
Okay, well, I was super happy that it was at 7 o'clock. I went and had a nice reserved seat at the new AMC and...
3D IMAX? What did you say,
I just saw it regular. Because I don't like the... I saw it regular, and
like
then I
3D
saw 3D, and I much preferred it regular to 3D.
Yeah, 3D's...
I agree, the 3D's kind of pointless. That's why I was curious.
It just looks like a video game when it's in 3D, and that's the thing I just have in any of the superhero films, and any sort of action film, when the CGI really overpowers the live... actors, it really distracts me. I'm sorry, I pull myself out a lot.
Before you go on, just word, Avengers is the number 2 of all time U.S. debut with $188 million.
Wow.
Globally, it's $627 million already.
Yeah,
wait, 188 only?
188 in the U.S.
It's a lot less than they wanted.
I think they were thinking 210. I'm not sure
I can't remember what it was.
It might be Avengers.
It might be the first Avengers.
Yeah.
Guardians?
Actually, no, isn't like Avatar, maybe?
It might be.
No, it wasn't Avatar. I guess when Avengers came out,
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Batman?
I'll look it up.
Keep one of those.
You were talking about something, Gwen.
Well, it was just, I had a chance. So I saw it on Thursday at 7, and then I got to see it yesterday afternoon. And both screenings I saw it at, there was nobody in the theater. They were both dead.
Really?
And maybe it was because one was at 6 o'clock and one was at 7, but it was just like, there was nobody in the
theater. Some of those advanced screenings, like, people don't know about them. So.
Yeah. Or there's just so many of them that it's when you have like an entire theater dedicated to one film, it's like you're spreading out all. Like this theater had, they have 9 theaters and 5 of them were playing The Avengers.
That's crazy. And it was The Avengers that was number 1.
Wow.
So it's Avengers and Avengers 2. And they said $627 million globally. That's already surpassed most of the other solo Marvel movies.
Yeah, but I'm so curious to know, considering how much marketing and all the things they did for this film, I'm curious to know at one point they're actually going to make any money back.
Well, so they expected this opening weekend to do 207, so it's made 188, but they said it was such a decline for the fight that happened on HBO last night that it took away from some of that. But I think this is going to be number 1 up until the next, like, whatever...
Like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Jurassic Park or something like that.
Did you guys get to see the trailer for the 3D trailer for Star Wars?
The 3D trailer? I
saw
a trailer.
We saw a trailer.
Oh, yeah, okay. It looks pretty cool. I was like, I was sitting in my seat just like, oh my god!
I was much more disappointed by Ant-Man's trailer.
Oh, get out of here. I have zero interest in that.
I'll watch it, but I'm like, please be better than Green Lantern. Because that's what it looks
I don't think it will be.
It looks like
it looks
worse.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks like just reason, the tone also is weird. But I think that I was thinking about that last night, where like the Avengers films are so cool because they've got that Joss Whedon tone. And it's funny, and it's sort of dark, but it's at the end of the day, he tries to pump levity into his film. And then you have all the standalone films, and they all have their own little vibe. But whatever is going on with the Ant-Man tone, and maybe it's just the trailer, it just doesn't seem appealing to me. It seems almost like a Green Lantern, like just like an offshoot of something else. And I'm like, and then I don't know where he's going to play in to the whole
group. That might be because of the director.
Also
the script was changed. I mean, Edward Wright's vision is probably very different than...
And that's what I thought, too. When I saw the trailer again, I was like, man, I would have loved to see this as Edward Wright's
film. Nice.
Because it would have been punchy, just like I feel James Gunn's script for Guardians of the Galaxy was punchy. But there was also the help of having a woman help craft that script.
Did y'all see... Whedon's Much Ado About Anything.
Oh yeah, Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
And yes,
fucking up everything.
It was excellent.
Yeah, it was
excellent. I own it.
Kind of like, I know he pushed that film in just last minute, was able to squeeze it in. Like, I kind of miss him on TV. Like, I hope that he'll do something outside of Marvel.
Well, you say this, and it's interesting because it seems like a lot of directors with Marvel are not happy. Jon Favreau was one of them. Mm-hmm. Joss Whedon's one of them.
Joss Whedon made no money for the first Avengers. Like, absolutely.
Well, and he's also, there's so many voices with Marvel right now trying to tell him what to do.
Marvel doesn't give anyone
to do. Kevin Feige is not going to let go of anything.
And, exactly.
And you saw how
the issue is, the only reason why Avengers and Age of Ultron are so good is because of Whedon.
Right.
That sense of humor has...
need that.
There are jokes in there that are so funny, and it's only Whedon's sense of humor.
In my review, I definitely touch on one of my favorite pieces of dialogue was when Hawkeye was talking to Scarlet Witch and he was telling her how ridiculous it all was. And that's
that was
pure
awesome
Whedon TV stuff. And I was like, yes.
And those are like the, I have so many opinions on this film. I'm actually really happy I got a chance to see it twice because I hated it when I saw it on Thursday. Yeah. Like at one point, like just from the minute the film started, I thought the beginning fight was boring and terrible. And at one point I leaned over to my brother and I'm like, this movie is so boring. And he's just like, yeah, this movie is not going anywhere. And then we got time with James Spader and I thought James Spader was really moving it along. And Ultron being the sort of Frankenstein, but self-aware, but also Shakespearean, and also just so out of control. And I thought that was awesome. And I'm hoping that there's an opportunity to have him come back because I don't think there's like issues of I don't think he's really all the way dead. It's a comic book.
Absolutely.
You know, there's something.
There could be
one body still out there.
No, absolutely, 100%. They did not show the death.
They did not show.
So he's. Could be
spoiler
out there.
Guys, spoiler alert.
But that's probably a spoiler for a cameo in another film.
Yeah.
Not expecting
to be the big bad. But then who would have ever thought that Loki would be a big bad? Mm-hmm. You know?
And Loki was supposed to be in this movie also, but they cut his scene out.
But I appreciated Idris Elba being in it.
That was funny.
I don't think they even have time to Ultron. I think that there's more character development for him that you would love to see.
Do you remember the second Star Trek?
Same was the twins.
Yeah.
We never got any time with Benedict.
Same problem. Same problem I have with the because I wanted more time with him.
I feel like we got more Ultron than we did like Benedict Cumberbatch.
But only like
he
did 5 minutes.
A little bit more.
Only like 5 minutes.
And he used that montage, you know, just to cover like all the stuff happening.
And
could you not
have
done another 10, 15 minutes of him?
I loved Ultron. Yeah, I could have done.
I don't know what I would have cut because I felt like there were so many.
I would have cut the beginning altogether.
Yeah.
The entire opening sequence could have been cut, and you could have just been the creation of Ultron. That would have been an amazing.
Well, I talked
because I think it was confusing. Like there was no reason except for to show that that's what we're going to go back to. That team hadn't developed anything except for the fact that they were storing shit. They had nothing to do with Ultron because I was confused about that the first time I saw it. I was like, why are we here if he has something to do with Ultron from Tony? Okay, well, why didn't we just start there?
This movie isn't about the Avengers coming together. It's about the breaking up of the Avengers, basically.
Yeah.
Why show us them kicking ass of regular people? Like, I thought I don't know. There's so many better fight sequences in Marvel movies than that opening sequence.
Well, that's what I talked about. There's like there were so many wow moments in the first film that you remember, like Hulk smashing Loki. There wasn't that in this movie so much. And I feel like I put in, to quote the police commissioner Gordon, like this is the Avengers movie we needed but didn't deserve, or that we didn't necessarily deserve, because in the first movie it was all about them coming together finally to fight. This one was actually showing them fighting, but that's all it was. There was really no character movement or story movement to the whole Marvel Universe except for kind of Hawkeye, which was awesome. But it was until the very end when you have the reveal during the credits, like, oh, they're moving forward finally. But Age of Ultron, while it was cool and epic action, that's pretty much all it was.
You take Ultron out of it, you don't get Vision, you don't get the power of Scarlet Witch.
And I thought Vision was the coolest looking.
And how cool of a surprise was he, too? You know, like, I know they had been saying something about Vision not being in this one, right? Like, they were saying he was going to be appearing later. Mm-hmm. And so it was a cool little sneaky.
Yeah, it was really cool. I liked him. And James Spader doing the motion capture and the voice, like, literally sold that whole thing.
I mean, I don't know if y'all watch Blacklist. I'm obsessed with it again.
I've seen Blacklist, yeah.
16 over demo. when you were watching Ultron, he moved like James Spader.
Well, it was motion capture.
Yeah, and then also the way, because James Spader, when you see him, he always has, like, his neck leans to one side, and so he was doing that all the time in his character, and I was like, fuck, it's so... Andy Serkis, man. Bravo.
I like the final look of Ultron. I like the one before. So that final look just looked kind of weird.
I kind of wish that he'd stayed really eerie, creepy, like that first one we saw, because that one gave me chills.
When he appears in the party.
When he appears and he's got all the strings and shit, I was, like, scared.
I like that they made it liquid, though, now.
Yeah, he was slowly
bleeding. Like,
it was cool. It's a good movie. It's not what we did.
Andy Serkis is being set up for Black Panther.
Or whatever it's called.
Because he gets his arm ripped off, so the big claws will be put on instead. So.
Okay, that was Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Okay, because I wanted to ask who that was, and I kept forgetting to look at the cast.
It was good to see him.
He was so good. He's so hot.
Yeah, he is.
Incredible actor.
13 going 30.
But I don't know. It's one of those films that I think if it doesn't grab you right off the bat, you need to see a couple of times. I still like regular Avengers better.
He's the arms dealer that gets the metal from.
You know, from when they go
in
to Africa.
In the African.
Remember, he's the one that's sitting there, and the twins come and attack
him. And he gets his arm chopped off.
Oh.
And you think you intimidated me?
Oh, okay.
He was like an Ultron. I liked that when Ultron was like, I'm nothing like him! And just freaked out. And I was like, man, because I've always identified as the Hulk. And I was like, guys, I think I'm Ultron. I think I'm just like, I'm sorry, but don't fucking compare me to him. I was like, that's
why he was such a good villain, because even when he had his, like, comedic moments, he was still terrifying.
Terrifying.
Like, he just was always scary.
It's why I'm like, I wish that he was going to be a big bad movie. Because it's, like, this film about breaking up the crew for whatever reason, because they want more money. Like, that's all I kept thinking, too, was like,
well, the next
why are you suggesting
Civil
that
War.
This is over?
Yeah.
Did everybody like the Prima Nocta joke in the movie?
Yes,
Robert Downey Jr.
Did you see
Robert Downey Jr.'s
shirt?
It's when
he gets sex with the bride on
her wedding day. There was a good Prima Nocta joke. I laughed out loud.
Check out his shirts. He's got the best wardrobe in the movie.
I thought it was...
Bruce Willis, or Bruce Lee dancing.
Yeah,
when
Bruce Lee.
Did you show the new Avengers scene with the end? I'm like, I'm not on board with that team.
Anthony Mackie, go fuck yourself. He's awesome.
Come on, I love Elizabeth Olsen.
She was so.
I was like, you get her on this team and give me more.
And I was surprised that they killed Quicksilver.
Spoiler!
You have not seen the movie by the time this comes out.
Well,
because he's faster than bullets. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how there's, like, how many Quicksilvers are there?
Right.
How are they going to do this?
Hold on. Before anybody says anything, she says this, but we actually don't see him die, and even though we don't see him
die.
We do see him die.
They could
put him in the
And hold on.
He comes back.
Hold on.
He died on the
screen. No. But remember, at the beginning of the movie, they said that they could fix people really easily when Hawkeye didn't.
Remember Coulson? Tahiti is a magical place.
Yeah, he'll be coming back.
None of them are dead, but...
Are they going to merge X-Men with Avengers?
They're trying to.
Because if they do, that's where I'm going to get confused.
Yeah.
They're not doing
Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Fox never give up the rights.
Okay, well, I'm glad, because the last time we saw Quicksilver in X-Men...
With Evan Peters.
That was like, there was no... He didn't have a Russian accent. He didn't have a sister that we knew
He'll be in the next one, though.
So that's what I'm...
Okay,
is Evan Peters will be?
He's going to be in Apocalypse.
Well, I have a real question for you guys. Between Evan Peters and Andrew Johnson Taylor...
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
That guy.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Adorable.
He's so
cute. I've
named Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Kick-ass.
Really? I really liked Evan Peters.
I thought Evan was better, but I like...
There.
I like
Johnson better.
Johnson's a better actor.
Yeah, there we go. I agree with that. What he just said.
Peters had a better performance than Johnson's a better actor.
Exactly.
And I think Peters was so, like, that scene.
Because he had a great scene, too.
Oh,
that is a better Quicksilver.
They showed his powers way better in the X-Men movie.
Yeah.
All right. Did anybody see, unfortunately, there was other movies that came out this week to compete with Avengers? Did Dior and I and Little Boy come out this week?
Yeah.
Oh, Dior and I did.
Dior and I was really good.
I thought Little Boy came out this week.
It's on Adult Beginners.
Yeah, Adult Beginners.
Yeah,
came out. Did that come out this week?
It's on
DVD. It was all right.
Anybody see any of these movies?
Dior and I is a good documentary. That was at USA.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they brought the director in. Fred was fun. I gave him a book. He loves me.
And Adult Beginners is so. You can probably pass on it, though.
It's funnier than
I
thought.
But the ending kind of fizzles.
They're great.
Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne are great.
They're together.
No.
Yeah,
Nick
Cole's good, too.
Nick and
he's okay.
Rose were good together.
I like Bobby Cannavale.
There's a lot of things about Adult Beginners I feel like was very unnecessary.
The ending all together.
Well, the ending sucked, and then,
I'm kind of over these movies. Like, that one.
Well, that just tries very hard to be an indie flick.
Indie comedies. I'm just kind of bored.
I just don't like them. They do the cliche things on it. Like, somebody's a cheater, and, I think it's really
And they're all selfish people.
They're all selfish.
And they're all, 35 and having midlife crises because they just can't deal with
somebody's depressed. Yeah, I need you to cheer me up.
And my hot wife just isn't hot enough anymore. It's like that. It's like that show Married. It's like that show on HBO with, what's the hell the name of the show with Mark Duplass? Where she's all
and there's
together.
This scene and there's
together.
Literally
together.
A scene and there's over. Literally scene that's the most ridiculous
it
scene in the movie where Nick Kroll is about to leave his a work meeting, one of those scenes. He's like, I gotta go because he needs to go see his nephew's swim class thing. And then the boss is like, whoa, which guy are you gonna be? I was like, is this for real?
The audience can't hear it, but I just rolled my eyes.
He had to choose between staying in this work meeting or going to see his nephew
so
swim.
So boring. Nothing I knew.
It made no sense whatsoever when that happened. The guy even said, he's like, look, you're not going to get fired, but what are you going to do?
Do you remember that movie, Happy Thinking More Please, with Josh Radnor, where it was basically just him masturbating the entire film?
No.
He didn't actually masturbate the whole film, but it's basically just a metaphorical masturbation.
Poor
Josh.
Isn't that his whole career, though?
Yes. I fucking hated that film. And that's where that whole, indie comedy, self-absorbed dude trying to find his place in the world because he feels irrelevant.
It's always that.
It started there, and I just...
No, you can think Swingers.
Garden State was good.
It started with Swingers, and it was awesome in Swingers.
Garden
you know
State
why? Because he got sad. And in Garden State, he got sad.
Yeah.
I never saw any emotion in Nick in
yeah.
this movie.
You
one
do
bit.
Have to get sad.
Garden
you
State was
reflective.
Emotional.
Yeah.
You
have to
tear up.
And there's reasons. You feel, you understand. With Nick Kroll's character in this, I feel like she, Rose Byrne had to tell us every 5 minutes that he's depressed, he's sad. Okay. I don't see it.
And also, that is, a fucking harpy annoyance. How crappy would it be if your wife is always my husband is sister is so... I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I can tell you what the whole movie's about, having never seen it. It's like that movie Drinking Buddies. This is a whole other
podcast. Drinking Buddies is good.
It's Joe's best film.
No. I love
what's the
great.
One that was about his almost destruction of his marriage? Not Hannah Takes the Stand. Hannah Takes the Stand?
Yeah.
Alexander the Last.
Yeah.
Have you all seen Alexander the Last? That one is really good because it's all about how when you're with the wrong person and they don't understand you're a creative person or they don't understand what your life with your heart and what you really need to be
great.
Doing. It's called Alexander the Last. It's really good. It's just
a very personal story.
It's a
though.
Very personal story. That's the one film that I... Because I had seen all of his mumblecore shit, and I was like, okay, another one of these. And then... And it's really cool because I think it's sort of told from the girl's perspective, but it's really told from her and the guy that she has an affair with.
Mm-hmm.
It's really their story.
But it does take, a personal connection. Swingers
yeah.
seemed like that was a real story. Garden State
was very
that
personal.
Was very personal for Zach. I think the whole parent conversation with his dad and all that, you felt those.
I still can't be around.
Adult Beginners had nothing of that.
Yeah.
Adult Beginners, it was a fail, honestly.
What was that other movie, Brian?
Not the
Little Boy?
Little Boy.
I don't think you see that?
I did not. I didn't see anything else.
I'm sure Michael Rapaport went.
Isn't it a religious film?
I'm not sure.
I didn't know that, and the reviews were saying
It was. But it's a better religious film than, like, Heaven... What was that terrible...
Heaven Can...
Yeah.
You saw a little more?
Heaven is for real.
That was awful.
But there can be really good inspirational and faith films that really just deal... They decide to take the stories that, you know, if you're Jewish or if you're Christian, it's just like these moral stories that we know based on our biblical... Or, I'm sorry, our spiritual texts. And then make it for a secular audience. There are good spiritual films that can do that. And then there's some really shitty ones that just shoved in your face Kirk Cameron.
And actually, there's a good one, Kirk Cameron. It is shoved in your face, but Fireproof wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay, so there's always, like, a few of them that don't.
There's also, like, shows that actually have, like, religion in it that make it better. Like, has anyone seen Daredevil? That movie? I mean, that TV show is awesome for Netflix. He's Catholic in it, and he actually uses...
That's right,
he is Catholic in that one.
And that helps his character, because
that wasn't
in, like, the original movie.
That's really deep.
Right. But it's part of the comic, and so is, like, the villains that he faces in the comic, like Moon Knight. Moon Knight has a bit of a religious tone to that character. Like, I agree with you there. Like,
Moon Knight.
There's a way to, like, touch on religion without being...
Or about being lazy about it. Because I think the heavy-handedness is very lazy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're just going to keep shoving
it
in
their
face.
Don't throw Jesus in my face. Like, show me something
emotional. Make an amazing Christ-like figure that I want to follow, that I identify.
Thor.
Can we go back to Avengers for just one second?
Thor.
How funny is Chris Hemsworth under the guide and direction of Joss Whedon?
The hammer bit might be the funniest thing ever.
That's what I was going to say. One of the best lines, and it's all little things you have to notice, but like when Chris Evans just nudges.
And you see the fear?
Like he's just like,
that was good.
The best.
It was so good.
He's the funniest. He is honestly my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah.
I like Captain America if I'm picking a hero, but I think Thor is my favorite character.
Because he works so well with the other group because he thinks he's so much better than the rest of them. And that's why I think it's actually really funny because all of them actually think
they're
better than each other. But they're all still friends and they all still work together and they know that teams are better with each other. But yeah,
Go see Avengers. Quickly, Gotti, the USA Film Fest, what was the best film that you saw?
Oh, wow. That's a... Dior and I was very good. Iris was really interesting. It's about Iris.
Did you get to interview her? Her glasses were
badass. She's
badass.
The interview... She's 92. It's kind of... 93. It's kind of tough. We didn't film it. We had audio. That's why I don't release it. Mr. Holmes is really amazing. It's slow, and you have to listen to what's going on.
Was that hard for you, Gotti?
It is. It was tough. You know me, I fall asleep
in
all fucking movies.
It's
like,
true.
Serious.
It's
like,
about
very
it's
tough.
Aging Sherlock Holmes.
You do that. You're a critic.
I do it all the time. The movie's got to be good. If the movie's not keeping my attention.
I didn't fall asleep in Mr. Holmes. That says something.
I
was enthralled. I might have for a few minutes. It was the Hiroshima part, didn't I?
You're like, I saw this. I read that in the textbook.
Yeah. And that was funny, because that's the guy we got to interview.
But it's
Ian
McKellen starring as Sherlock Holmes in, like, his last case. So it's
pretty... But it's poignant.
It's awesome.
It's really...
It goes back and forth.
Does Holmes know that it's his last case, or is it just like...
He not only knows it's his last case, he knows he's losing his mind.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. He knows he only has a certain amount of time to get what he wants.
And
he's actually writing a story
about his real last case because John Watson got it wrong. Like, you know, that's what he's trying to correct. While he still has the time.
It's such an amazing character study, and I'm sure for Ian at his age to tackle losing memories.
And it has a great kid actor.
And Hero, even though he's not anything in the series, the whole him traveling Japan is fascinating. It's a small segment of the movie, but it's like, it gets to the heart of, like, the whole impact of the colonial system on the rest of the world and how these people, when they come back to these countries, still have such an aura.
Sounds like a movie my mom is going to love.
Yep.
It's very intelligent. It's definitely not something you can go in, have some popcorn, and enjoy yourself. You have to sit. You've got to relax and listen to what they're talking about, because what Ian's character is getting through is really interesting. It's not Benedict as Sherlock. He's not going to solve the case. Imagine if the smartest man on the planet lost his mind and lost his memory.
That's terrible.
All he wants to do is tell one final truth, and he can't even do it. It's fascinating.
I can barely remember what I did the day before.
They had some good guests too at the festival. Like Margo Martindale was there for a short. She did.
She is awesome.
Lovely.
Liked interviewing her.
And Pat Boone is quite a character.
Wore a hell of a suit, that guy.
Didn't
he was on Shark Tank this week too, which is funny.
Wasn't there like a fear that people were going to protest Pat Boone showing up?
Well, okay, I'll throw someone out. A local critic ripped USA a new asshole. Elaine with the Observer said it was terrible. But I thought USA bringing in Tab Hunter to contradict Pat Boone was their way of saying, fuck you, we can bring anyone in. Like, Tab Hunter was amazing.
He was amazing.
Like, that guy had his shit together. That movie's really interesting, Tab Hunter Confidential. Like, I thought anyone that sat there and was so hateful, the biggest news people that were there was Arnold with The Voice. They had a full gay presence there. Just to combat if Pat had said something. But Pat was nice, didn't do anything negative, didn't say anything crazy. I mean, that was a moment in his life where he's an old man. He has certain views. Someone pushed him on that question. And he said something very, in my opinion, wrong. I think everyone, he crossed the boundary. That doesn't mean because you bring him to a festival, the festival's wrong.
Yeah.
I thought the festival did a great job of bringing in an eclectic group of people.
It was.
And it was about not just that issue, but like fashion as a whole and the impact of fashion. They bring in the guy from Dior. They bring in Iris. They bring in these like heavy figures from it. It was real cool.
I love that festival. I was really disappointed that they bumped themselves so close to Diff. I know it's not necessarily the same audience, but I just feel
it's right after the other.
It's politics and it's
inner
battles. It's not.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, you could make the argument that Diff needs to either push themselves back or closer to South By. And that's a big issue why they don't get talent. And we've always had this argument. If they were closer to South By, they'd get that talent. Just like all the music venues do all their showcases, like 35.
Well, it makes a lot of sense because not everybody's going to drive 3 hours to go down to South By Southwest. Versus if you have your festival and then 5 days later you have another festival in the exact same venue.
Yeah.
It's...
I mean, if
you're never going to get as good of talent as... I mean, USA gets good talent.
Yeah.
But that's because of 45 years of history.
Yeah.
That's because of HBO contract for that same amount of time. That's because they're accredited with the Oscar.
There was one that we picked that won an Oscar.
Yeah.
The Time Machine one.
Yeah.
That we got to screen.
It's a good one.
It's real good.
Back when I was screening the Awesome Shorts.
All right. To wrap the podcast 58 up, this weekend, back in 2000... she cannot. This weekend, back in 2000, 15 years ago, a little movie called Gladiator came out. It's been 15 years since Russell Crowe.
Is it a good junior boxing movie?
Is it 2001?
Correct.
I thought it was 2001.
No, 2000.
Yeah, it was 2000.
Just a quick little recast. Who would you see in the role of Russell Crowe's character if it were made today?
Gladiator is a film that still hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Like,
I
watch that movie and I still cry.
I think it's overrated.
Like, when he dies and he's going through the wheat field and he sees his family again, and I'm just like, I love that
movie. Wheat
field. Like,
the music is so awesome.
I was gonna say, the music
is
the reason why that scene works. But that scene looks so stupid.
So if they made it today, who could you see in Russell Crowe's role? Who would do it justice?
Tom Hardy or Joel Edgerton?
I was just going to say Joel Edgerton.
Edgerton would look
cool.
Awesome.
No, Tom Hardy's I would like to see Tom Hardy in that,
but he can't speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has that
like Joel can
thing.
Speak English correctly.
Yeah.
Tom can't fucking
is
speak.
Is Michael Fassbender not a good one? I would think
he was in 300.
Okay with him, but he's so thin.
He is thin. He's
and even when he's bulky, he's thin.
He's bulky.
And he needs to be, even though Russell Crowe really isn't as big as we, and that time wasn't as big as we really think he is, he looked big on screen.
Jeremy Renner.
Idris Elba?
You know,
not
historically. If you want to throw in.
For Digimon,
I think
Dennis's role.
That would be awesome to see Idris Elba as a Gladiator.
Yeah, and
that would be
badass.
That would
be really badass. He's big enough. He's
really
articulate.
He's strong enough, and doggone it, people like him.
Yeah, he's
one
son of a bitch.
But he's also, like, big. Like,
yeah,
he's broad.
Definitely big. Yummy.
And his pants off. That's so hot.
What is the movie where there's a screenshot of him with the big penis and the...
Shame?
No.
That's just a
private
movie.
Normal life.
That's just a private movie that you have with him.
Yeah.
Why
have
I not seen this yet?
God is getting excited over there.
Idris Elba. sexiest
Idris
human
Elba.
Of all time.
I like Idris Elba or Joel Edgerton.
You'd let him have sex with
It just depends on, like...
Oh, no, I say Idris Elba for
the It's like, what I would like to see is Idris Elba. What would likely happen if Hollywood was making this film? Joel Edgerton. Because...
Oh,
yeah, they wouldn't want a black guy to lead. No. Who would play Joaquin Phoenix? He's the best role
yeah,
in the movie.
That's what Michael Fassbender.
Tom Hiddleston.
Great.
Tom Hiddleston would be too funny.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston can't do... I love Tom Hiddleston.
He's someone who's kind
but
of...
But he can't do menacing. He's yeah. not good at menacing.
What's a good asshole actor?
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender.
I was thinking Michael Fassbender. Fassbender can be menacing.
Oh, yeah. He can be a dick.
You need it because you need somebody
but
that...
But it needs to be someone young. Like, the character was a young
yeah.
king.
We can get
yeah,
Joffrey
yeah, yeah.
to do it.
Oh, Joffrey. Poor Joffrey.
Chris Evans.
Fuck him.
Calm down.
I like that. Hey. That should be the thing that Susan does every time. Just put Chris Evans in.
Chris Evans.
And I'll do that with Tom Hiddleston.
He's a much better actor. I'll give Chris
you
Evans
know,
this.
Hey, guys, let's take a page out of Susan's Miles Teller.
Yeah, no, actually, I was going to say Miles Teller.
Miles
what
Teller.
About
Chris Hemsworth really could do
not,
something.
Not Madge
He's
compatible,
not
but Hugh. I think Hugh might... He looks like...
Oh, Hugh Dancy?
Yeah.
Miles Teller would not be good for Joaquin.
No, Hugh Dancy kind of...
too like
I love
Hugh
Dancy. Oh, my God. Can we say Hugh Dancy for Joaquin?
Hugh Dancy would be really good.
Yeah.
He can
Hugh
play
Dancy.
Kind of weird, sadistic...
Yeah.
And twisty.
And he still has, like, a very young face.
Yeah.
He's so hot.
He is so hot.
So hot.
And that's what I mean. You need, in my opinion, is you need it to be, like, a very attractive
yeah.
person.
What about
because
Oscar
you
Isaacs?
Have to be charming.
No,
you know?
I'm with Hugh Dancy. I think that's perfect. Yeah.
Oscar Isaacs is very good.
You don't think Cumberbatch would be good?
No.
No, really?
No.
Too old?
And too, like, real.
And also, I feel, I don't feel like Benedict can do menacing either.
He seems too, like... I'm like
caricature-y.
Yeah, like
just like Tom Hiddleston. Like they're both so classically trained
okay.
that they almost can't take a step back and not be so big. And I've never seen either of them do a subtle
performance. Oscar Isaac could do Russell Crowe's character.
Yeah, yeah,
I can see that.
Kind of small.
But I actually like her. I looked up who Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, I think Joel.
Joel looks the part.
He actually that is a good one.
He's like a Russell Crowe.
And if he had the body from Warrior, I mean,
oh,
he
yeah.
got big. He got big.
See, perfect example of a Christian film that
Warrior.
Didn't throw it in your face.
Yeah.
Warrior.
Yeah, Warrior's... That director is he obviously is...
I would never...
Miracles, he made that
yeah,
miracle.
Yeah.
Movie.
I would never have known that that was a Christian film until we went to Megafest and they talked about that. And I was like, oh.
It's very subtle. It's
very
subtle. It doesn't throw it in your
it's
face.
You.
But it's obviously
art
very much about...
Yeah.
Sweet.
So do we need to cast anyone else? Or
no, that's it. That's it. That's our podcast, number 58. We're done. Thanks for listening.
Are we? What?
We are done.
Yeah.
We are the multi...
Cast the child?
No, we're not.
So
Kevin Hart's the child.
Our
cast
now?
Huh?
We're
going to... overtime with...
overtime with...
with yes. But that's our... Look us up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Twitter. Let us know
like
what you think.
Share us.
Rate us, review
yeah,
us.
Definitely, we definitely want you. If for the one person that's not my mom listening, write a little review for us. And if we,
yeah.
if you write a review, we'll read it and we'll give you mad props and love, and maybe send you a little present.
And then Susan will rip it apart.
Boom!
She'll send you a picture
of
Chris Evans.
Are you so bitter about this? Isn't funny?
Very bitter.
Cousin sucks.